Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. For Hallmark Media, this is, as the song goes, the most wonderful time of the year. Lots of well-viewed original holiday-centered movies on Hallmark Channel and sister network Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. In a few minutes, you'll hear the person accountable for developing this made-for-bounty. Senior Vice President Demanda Pipo joins me next. 6 months ago, we introduced you to Da Vinci, the on-demand edutainment TV venture available worldwide and just getting a U.S. foothold. That hold is growing. Chief Operating Officer Estelle Lloyd will detail how next half hour, live from London. And a week from Wednesday, ABC offers Finding Harmony, an inspiring special involving award-winning performer John Legend. Executive producer Joanna Coles, coming off a run on Freeform hit The Bold Type, comes by after the top of the next hour. Also ahead, the Roku channel gets more musical. Will HBO Max just go Max? Our classic trivia question, and we remember Sesame Street and Sing Along with Mitch Troubadour, Bob McGrath. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, the iRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. A very happy Monday afternoon to you and you and very much you, wherever you are. 46 degrees at the top of the hour. And welcome you to a special 90-minute edition of the program All About TV's Current and Future. We have a fantastic trio of guests coming away over the next 90 minutes. I think you're going to find it very entertaining and very inspiring along the way. And it gets even more so when you are involved with our guests. How do you do that? You pick up the phone and you dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. Our chat room is open as well, and it's available for you right now to use. It's SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can be with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people will be live with you. Samantha DePipo, the Senior Vice President of Development at Hallmark Media. That's Hallmark Channel and Movies and Mysteries. She'll join me here in New York after these news notes. There's a musical triple play happening today at the Roku Channel. Warner Music Group has launched a trio of new ad-supported channels there, featuring music videos and original content from its WNX unit. One channel features pop tunes and performers, while the other two are devoted to rock and hip-hop, respectively. If the Roku channel does well with these services, look for WMX to expand distribution to consumers through other multi-channel bundles. When HBO Max and Discovery Plus merge their individual mega-content offerings next spring, what will parent Warner Bros. Discovery name this creation? Max. Just Max, suggests CNBC in a report presented earlier today. There are a few names under consideration, and Max appears the lead candidate, so CNBC says. Not so fast, the Warner Bros. Discovery rep tells Variety. Too early to offer a definitive top name, since the matter remains in extensive discussion. Of course, keep you posted. Peacock is on track to be profitable with 18 million subscribers now under its belt. That disclosure from NBC Universal Chief Executive Officer Jeff Shell during his presentation earlier today at the annual UBS Media Conference here in New York. Shell added that Peacock is offsetting declines in NBCU's broadcast and cable TV service ad revenues. UBS event, which is open to investors and in recent years closed to the press, this was before the pandemic, continues through Wednesday. Got a pair of quickies before our first guest. Popular novel The Lemon, dealing with the culinary media circuit, will be adapted by its authors under the pen name S.E. Boyd into a television series. And TBS will bring Dwayne Wade's host of The Cube back for a second season beginning January 8th. Expect a mix of celebrity and non-celebrity contestants for the set of episodes, including Wade's wife, that's Gabrielle Union. She is paired with former MTV VH1 DJ Lala and personality Lala Anthony. Again, that premieres next month, second season on TBS. And that is news notes for today. And now joining me live here in New York, the Senior Vice President of Development for Hallmark Media, that's Hallmark Channel and Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, Samantha DePipo. Samantha, welcome in. Happy holiday season to you and your crew.
Happy holidays. Thank you so much for having me.
And I must confess off the bat that my parents just saw one of your big movies of this holiday season. That's A Holiday Spectacular featuring the Racy Musical Rockettes, and just loved it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we love that movie. That actually was that was a pretty big passion project for me. It took about 3 years, so I'm really, really pleased with how that came together. I'm glad they enjoyed it.
Yeah, and by the way, for those who didn't catch your episode Friday, happy anniversary. We celebrated their wonderful anniversary, whatever it is, last week. Samantha, what does it take, given the fact you have so many networks now? You're not the only game in town anymore. There are so many networks from Lifetime to ION, now CBS is doing holiday made-for-TV movies. What does it take now compared to, let's say, 5-10 years ago when you were like the only game in town and one of the few games in town to make a made-for-TV movie about how the holidays happen?
Well, you're right. There is a lot out there, but we're focused on how we're going to continue to elevate our program. I mean, look, there, as you just mentioned, a couple different places that, you know, imitation is the most sincere form of flattery, so thank you very much. But, you know, we're number one for a reason. You know, our audiences come to us every year for just that feel-good holiday content, and we're continuing to up our game. And this year for Countdown to Christmas and Miracles of Christmas, we have our most diverse and expansive programming yet, to be honest, between all of our stories and our characters and the worlds that we're showcasing. I'm really, really proud of the storytelling and the new voices that we've brought into this season.
When you talk about elevation, how do you elevate the genre? What are the factors that you determine are going to do that elevation and keep you on top?
Well, we are constantly trying to expand the types of Hallmark movies that we're doing, right? So our audience knows that it's 2 hours of an escape. There's a bit of a fantasy to it, right? And so when we're doing a rom-com on the Hallmark Channel, for instance, you know, we've slowly been going broader and broader with our comedy. I think this year with Haul Out the Holly, which was our premiere on the Saturday of Thanksgiving with Lacey Chabert, that's probably the broadest comedy that we've done. And so, like you said, there's a lot of content out there, but nobody does Christmas like Hallmark Channel. So our goal is to continue to tell new ways into these stories and give the audience something unique and magical that they can only get here, right? And so that's where we're really excited. This is the, I believe, 10th year in a row that we are the most number one most watched cable network for Thanksgiving week.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a moment ago that Holly Spectacular, which just premiered on Hallmark Channel, was 3 years in the making. How did it come about? Because this was one of the first Hallmark movies as produced in New York, and, of course, it features one of the synonymous performers with Christmas or any type of any month of the year, day of the year, the Rockettes at Radio Music Hall.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Christmas Spectacular was a show that I grew up going to since I was little, and it is synonymous with Christmas, and it really just came about because I love that show so much, and I've done, and Hallmark Channel has done movies where we set them at Graceland or the Plaza, and it was, you know, kind of coming out of what's the next place that we can go? You know, we're always trying to think ahead, and I was really excited to talk to MSG about this. So I think my first meeting with Jessica Tuttle, who's the head of production for MSG, was December of 2019. And, you know, we discussed what this movie could be, and you know, we've been developing it since then. We actually shot it in January earlier this year, which I know everyone thinks we shoot everything in the summer, but we don't. And it was a really, I hate to use the word spectacular, but it was a really spectacular project, how everything really came together. And to be able to showcase the Radio City Rockettes in this way and really tell a story of four women who are friends that became family is different for us, and yet still very much at the core of what makes Hallmark Hallmark, right? We are celebrating love and relationships in all different forms.
And that particular movie, incidentally, was a mix of having Broadway performers. For example, one of the stars of the current production of Wicked, Gina Claire Mason, also had a Tony nominee, Derek Klina, and you also had the one and only Anne Margaret, and of course one of the Brady Bunch kids, Eve Plum, now all grown up.
Yes, and we had Eve. Yeah, we had. There's a lot of people in this movie. It was really great how all the casting ended up coming together, and we have a lot of little kind of Easter eggs to the incomparable Anne Margaret in there. If you watch the opening credit sequence, there's you know, it's very quickly edited together. But when you, there's one shot where all the dancers are up against the blue background, and that is a little homage to Bye Bye Birdie. So we've got some really fun pieces in there that were all just kind of made with love, but the casting just was phenomenal. I mean, Jenna Claire Mason was perfect as Maggie, and Derek, you know, he was great in Jagged Little Pill and every other show he's done on Broadway. So to be able to get the two of them together was quite magical.
And the holiday season movies will continue all December long on the Hallmark Channel, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. Hallmark Channel will have all new movies every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights this month at 8 p.m. And then on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, the sister network, every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. We're speaking with Samantha DePipo. She is the Senior Vice President of Development. She is the development person behind all these holiday movies and then some at Parent Hallmark Media. And she joins me here in New York this half hour here on Tomorrow Be Televised. A big 90-day edition to kick off your week. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 46 degrees at the top of the hour. And let's hear from you. If you have a question or comment, ring it in, 646-652-2906. We use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, my lead guest is also doing a holiday movie, this one for BET. At BET and sister BET Her, it's called Christmas Party Crashers, and it'll be launching the eve before Christmas Eve on December 23rd. He is one of the top episodic directors and also one of the top Broadway directors in the business, and he is the author of a brand new book, a very special one called My Own Directions, which we will offer as a classic trivia question prize. His name is Sheldon Neff. And you'll hear more about his incredible career, both in TV and in Broadway and off-Broadway, this Friday. He's our lead guest, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow. We'll be televised. Something else that's happening with a lot of your movies is that you're bringing in a lot more music and music performers, either to star or to sing in the movies.
Yes. We are. Music has always been a big part of our creative, whether, you know, we're working directly with an artist. You know, this was the fifth year in a row that we did a movie with executive producer Blake Shelton that was inspired by a song that he wrote and a book that his mother wrote. And so, you know, we take that song, Time for Me to Come Home, as kind of the impetus for the creative, right? Like each one of these movies in this franchise centers around two people that are struggling with something to come home. And so this year we've even stepped up the game further with the songs that we've licensed and really trying to set the tone in a lot of these movies to make you cry sometimes, but also just really hit on that emotion. We had a movie a couple weeks ago called Inventing the Christmas Prince, and there is a song at the finale of that by Ingrid Michaelson and A Great Big World called It's Almost Christmas. And, you know, you watch that scene without that song, and it's a lovely scene, but you watch that scene with that song and you're crying. And so, you know, we were excited to bring in songs this year from Paul McCartney, from the Pentatonics, from Joss Stone, who was just on our Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade float, which was great. Kristen Chenoweth is the opening song in The Holiday Sitter that premieres next Saturday night, starring Jonathan Bennett, and we just had Lindsay Sterling, who's a phenomenal musician, had a cameo in a Fabled Holiday that was on Saturday night. So, you know, we're constantly trying to work with more artists, and we have a lot in development right now that we're looking forward to in the next couple of years.
For those people who don't know who Lindsay Sterling is, she is the YouTube star who is absolutely incredible. She is not only a fantastic violinist, she's also a fantastic dancer and does both at the same time. If you've ever seen her video,
yes.
What was it like working with her? And I understand she does a very unique Joy to the World performance.
She does. If you didn't have a chance to see A Fabled Holiday, which aired on Saturday night, definitely check it out. And it's just this beautiful, magical, sterile scene where she is dancing and playing violin because she is multi-talented. But she's really amazing. If you haven't heard her music, it's pretty incredible. And I don't know anyone else that really is able to connect with audiences like that.
Mm-hmm. Something else you're doing that's very interesting with Hallmark Movies and Mysteries is that you've introduced films that pertain to specific brands. One that was introduced earlier this year is Mahogany, and you've done a movie called The Holiday Stocking. Mikkel T. Williamson, remember him from all sorts of films, including Forrest Gump. He's a major part of this. It's the third movie
yep.
that's on Mahogany. But you've also started another Hallmark card brand in visual form called Dayspring. And it's a very interesting movie. It's faith-based, called The Gift of Peace. Talk about the how long those two films have been in development and what and how they expand the brand.
Well, so our Mahogany team has been working on the holiday stocking for the majority of the year. And really, it's Mahogany's very first holiday film, which just aired this weekend. And Gift of Peace is our first foray into Dayspring, which will also premiere this weekend on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. And, you know, it's really tying in what Hallmark does at its core, which is about love and community and, you know, elevating it to this creative, which is set around two people and a grief counseling group who really become this community and help lift each other up at the holidays. I won't say more than that for fear of spoilers, but, you know, you just asked about music before, and we have music in Gift of Peace from King and Country and Lauren Daigle, which is works so, so well in that film. I can't wait for everybody to see it.
Samantha, at any given time, how many films are you developing that are holiday or occasion oriented, and how do they come your way? Do they, I'm sure all kinds of production companies are like, you know, chomping at the bit to work with you.
Totally. We sit down with Santa and the elves and talk through our slate. No, it's honestly coming from everywhere. My team is really focused on our holiday content. So that's what we do all year, if you can believe it. But we get pitches from everywhere, from talent, from producers, from musicians, from writers, from production companies. Some are internally generated ideas, which are always really exciting when that comes together. Three Wise Men and a Baby, which just did a huge, huge number for us a couple weeks ago, was an internal idea. And so I like I had mentioned before, nobody really knows Hallmark better than we do. And so what we love when we're working with new producers and even our producers that we work with a lot is just trying to find those new ways in, right? What's a story we haven't told at Christmas, and what's a new way to surprise our audience and give them something magical and escapist? And, you know, there's been a couple of movies this year, one I was recently talking about called Ghosts of Christmas Always. And that is, you know, a different, different retelling of A Christmas Carol. But what works so well with this one is that it's from the perspective of the ghost, right, which we haven't really seen. And so it really made this movie feel unique and different and something unexpected. But at its core is very much a Hallmark movie and has that kind of secret sauce that, you know, we can't quite explain. But it's why we have such a huge audience every year that comes to us for Countdown to Christmas.
Do many people pitch you variations on a theme, like variations on A Christmas Carol or variations on, Santa Claus reaching kids every year on Christmas Eve, or It's a Wonderful Life? How do you deal with that kind of pitch?
You know, it's interesting. We get a lot of, sometimes it's like there's something in the water, right? And we'll get pitches where all of a sudden, like, every pitch we get that week is taking place in Ireland or some other location, or it is like, you know, like you just said with A Christmas Carol. We just look for what have we not done. Like this year we had 43 original Christmas movies, including Christmas in July. And so, you know, when we look at next year, it's like, okay, what have we not done? How can we up our game even more? And I'm just really, really proud of the team and how we have elevated our slate for this year. And the audience is really noticing, and it makes me, really happy when I see all the comments and just how far we've come and are continuing to go.
You're hearing Samantha DePipo. She is the Senior Vice President of Development at Hallmark Media. The folks behind Hallmark Channel and Hallmark Movies and Mysteries in the thick of their annual holiday movie blitz, which, by the way, you can catch original movies Friday, Saturday, and Sunday all month long. That's 8 p.m. on Hallmark Channel. And then Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, original movie every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Samantha joins me here in New York the rest of this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Time I've been with you live from New York, top of the hour. If a question or comment for our guest, Make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And be sure to join me in person, and yes, you can see me, on Wednesday afternoon for Sports Newswire on the Sports Grid Network. That's the daily news information program hosted by Craig out of Florida, and I'll be back this week at around 2:45 in the last quarter hour of the show. That's Sports Newswire this Wednesday afternoon from Florida, New York, and other places around the country. It's live, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets and devices. Samantha, next year, Hallmark Media with Hallmark Channel is going to make a long-awaited comeback into series television with at least two series that are definitely set to go. The Way Home, which I believe is premiering in January next month, and then Rye was about the rodeo circuit. Any thoughts about being involved with that series development, and also any thoughts about maybe doing Christmas episodes or holiday episodes of either of both shows?
Well, Lori Furneaux, who is our SVP of scripted series, is overseeing those, so unfortunately I can't speak to those, but I can say that we are all internally so excited about those series. They are fantastic, and, you know, especially Way Home, which premieres in first quarter, we can't wait for everyone to see them. It is definitely an elevated, fun series that our audience is going to love.
How big do you see series making more time on Hallmark Channel, but also on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, and maybe even Hallmark Drama, which is the third Hallmark cable channel that's available around the country?
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, I can't unfortunately speak so much on the series side because I am focused for holiday. But, you know, we have had series for many years. It's been a part of Hallmark's DNA. You've seen the series over the years. And so, you know, this is kind of that next evolution in what those series can look like.
Mm-hmm. Has there been any thought about, I know that you've done sequels to holiday movies over the years. Any thoughts about miniseries?
Right. We've talked about it. We definitely have talked about it. I think it just has to be the right property or the right concept. We've done movies that are kind of technically like part of a franchise, like the Blake Shelton franchise, that aren't necessarily direct sequels, right? But we will have characters that kind of pop in and out that have been in the previous films. We've also done, like last year when we had the Sister Swap movies with Kim Williams, Paisley, and Ashley Williams. It was two stories that were connected, but each of the movies was a separate story for each sister. So we've tried different things, and we're continuing to do that. Again, I think it's, you know, looking for the right stories to tell.
Let me know if I'm wrong. I don't believe that in the history of Hallmark Channel and Movies and Mysteries, there has been an original animated or cartoon movie. Has there been any talk about doing one at some point?
There has been either, unless there's something I'm completely forgetting, but I do not think we've ever had an animated movie. No, I don't think that is necessarily the direction that we are going. We have had, if you ever caught the movie we did a couple years ago called One Royal Holiday, which starred Aaron Tveit and Laura Osnes, since you seem to be a big Broadway fan, I'm sure you may have seen that one, but there was a lot of Broadway stars in that one. But we did have an animation for The Open, but that's pretty much like the extent. And if you've seen Fabled Holiday, which aired this past weekend, we had like kind of transitional animations, but we haven't done full on, no.
Mm-hmm. Earlier today, your company announced that you have a second in command now, who is Vice President of Development. Talk about her. I understand she comes from Disney. And what kind of a role do you see the two of you together with her aboard?
Yes, we're so excited that Kelly Garrett has joined the team. She is VP of Development on the holiday team, joining our two other fantastic VPs. And she literally has just hit the ground running. We're so excited that she's here because, you know, we always need help. We're always under the gun and completely overworked, but we love it so much. And this team has just gelled so well, and I think it's one of the biggest reasons why this season has felt so fun and diverse and expansive. And just, you know, we're leaning into holiday in a slightly different way, but yet still very much the way that Hallmark, you know, should feel. And so Kelly has really joined the team quite quickly and already just diving in for next year. So I know she's really excited about it.
So looking ahead to 2023 and beyond, when it comes to these movies, what's the next frontier for your company in what kind of movies you do? I mean, you've done holiday movies that involve the gay and lesbian community. You've done some that involve interracial situations, African-Americans, obviously the Mahogany brand. What about Latino? What about Asian-American? What about indigenous Native Americans? Do you see that as, like, some of the next frontiers to go to? What's your sense of where do we go from here, holiday-wise?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're continuing to tell stories for everyone. That's our goal across the board. And, you know, we just actually had Big Fat Family Christmas on Friday night, and we had Undercover Holiday on last night. So we are being, you know, across the board with our storytelling and our characters specifically very, very diverse, and continuing, just like I said, to tell stories for everyone. So for us, as far as like what's next, you know, I can't really give away the secret sauce, but we are looking for some pretty big, exciting things in the next couple of years. We're already getting started on Christmas 2023. We're already in prep on several movies, and we'll be shooting soon because Christmas never ends for us, which is exciting but also a little daunting. But we love it because we know how much our fans love Hallmark Channel and love this content that we're creating, and especially, you know, this year more so. And, you know, we're excited to keep raising that bar for them for next year and years to come.
And at some point, do you see Hallmark Drama having original made-for-TV movies as well as the other two services?
I don't think that, you know, that's not anything I can really speak on right now. But, you know, we have also we have Hallmark Movies Now, which is our SVOD platform, which is has a pretty robust offering. So we technically have kind of like four channels, right? You know, our focus for holiday right now is for our Countdown to Christmas franchise and Miracles of Christmas.
And you can catch the original holiday movies. They're coming your way at you all December long. Again, on Hallmark Channel and the sister network Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, original film for you. And every Saturday night, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. That's at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And also, more than 150 holiday movies, most of them original, are running on Hallmark Movies Now. It's available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. More details about all of this online, go to HallmarkChannel.com. That's HallmarkChannel.com. Samantha DiPippo, Senior Vice President of Development here in New York for Hallmark Media, parent of those services. Thank you again for joining us. From all of us here to all of you, a very, very happy rest of your holiday season and a great 2023 and beyond ahead.
Happy holidays. Thank you so much for having me, Simon. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Samantha. It's been a pleasure all the way. Take care. All the greatest.
Thanks. Bye.
Samantha DiPippo, Senior Vice President of Development at parent Hallmark Media, joining me here in New York. Quickly, time for Up as an Update, where we catch up on guests and topics on this program. On Friday, during our takeaway of the week, we talked about TV's unemployment tsunami. As it turned out, there was a big development over the weekend involving one of the companies we talked about, AMC Networks. We told you that Christina Spade, the chief executive officer for the last 3 months, left the place earlier last week. That was 3 months after she moved over from chief financial officer to take over that role. No successor yet. And then Jim Dolan, the head of the New York Knicks in Madison Square Garden, who's also the executive chairman of AMC Networks, broke the news that, hey, we're going to do a lot of cost cutting because we're not getting the revenue we ought to be getting, and we are losing money, hundreds of millions of dollars. Well, the first shoe dropped over the weekend. Moonhaven, the space colony drama that was very successful on AMC and AMC Plus last summer, whose creator Peter Acko was on this program last summer. Well, the show, which originally did get a second season renewal for next year, no longer. It's gone. And probably no chance that it will be shipped to somewhere else. Once again, Moonhaven, which was going to get a second season renewal. In fact, AMC had thought about a two-season renewal originally, then made the one season. Well, that renewal is now off the table. It is not happening. And I get a sense that this may be the beginning of a bunch of shows that AMC and its fellow networks, AMC Plus, Sundance, IFC, etc., were going to premiere next year. They may not because of the financial woes they are currently in. When we come back, we're going live to London, and we're going to reintroduce you to DaVinci. That is the edutainment worldwide television service that started with on-demand programming this past July, and now it has its full-time ad-supported channel. Chief Operating Officer and co-founder Estelle Lloyd will join me from that great England city after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, the best unit of radio on the planet with more than 75 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR is your home for the Independent Music Showcase. Next episode this Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Available more and more on smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles. Welcome back to our second half hour of this 90-minute Monday edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Abbott with you live from New York, 46 degrees at the bottom of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our guests in the remaining hour ahead, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up later this half hour, we will have our classic trivia question of the week. We're offering for the second week in a row with two CD prizes in play. Plus, we'll have a tribute to a wonderful person who spent a lot of the last half century as one of the key performers on Sesame Street. And before that, sing along with Mitch, Bob McGrath, an amazing man who passed away yesterday at the age of 90. We'll make tribute to his career. And we'd love to have you, by the way, get involved with phone calls or a chat room. So we're waiting for you. Give us your thoughts. We do appreciate them. Back in late July, we introduced you to a very interesting service called DaVinci. It's an edutainment television service that is now available in more than 100 countries around the world. And here in the United States, it's got going as an on-demand programming service, available through smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Well, last week, DaVinci launched a second service in the United States, a free ad-supported channel that is currently available on TCL smart television sets and on Sling TV, the satellite service. Joining me live from London, where it is now prime time their time, the co-founder and chief operating officer, Estelle Lloyd. Estelle, welcome in. Good holiday evening to you.
Hello, everybody. Lovely to be here. Hi.
Hi, and by the way, you are the wife of Douglas Lloyd, I believe, who was the chief executive officer of DaVinci, who was with us on that segment back in July.
That's correct, indeed.
So before we get to this new free ad-supported channel, bring us up to speed on how the original on-demand service is doing here in the States.
So the on-demand service first launched on Comcast Xfinity. That was a little while ago, and it's doing great. We obviously we love being being on Xfinity. And, you know, this very much follows what we are doing in other territories. So the DaVinci channel has been around for quite a long time, actually. It's been around for 15 years. It started as a pay TV channel in lots of different countries. It's been a very popular channel in countries such as Turkey and Poland. It's been also available in Southeast Asia, in multiple territories, in South Korea, for example. And so there is a long history at DaVinci of crafting really beautiful linear channels. We went into SVOD as it was the, you know, obvious and normal continuation of the pay TV channel. And so it's really lovely for us to actually now be launching on fast channels, which bring us back to the lovely crafting, sort of the art of crafting channels, very much as we are still doing it on pay TV.
And how is this free ad-supported channel doing so far? You're, as I said, you're on TCL Smart TV sets, you're on Sling TV. Where does it stand right now?
It's very much the very beginning for us. What's been really wonderful is that the focus that we have with the DaVinci channel is on the future of learning. We really, really focus on STEM, social-emotional learning, these two topics that we feel very strongly comprise 21st century learning. It's one of the UN's goals. And so, therefore, it's been really fantastic to see how well-received it's been. in this post-COVID world, particularly around the big social emotional learning topics that we are covering, ranging from youth activism to female representation in engineering to financial literacy and the future of our planet. Just giving you a few examples here of what the channel is about. You know, our mission is to inspire humans to start conversations on life big topics in a positive, diverse, and empathetic way. And for that reason, our channel is very much targeted to children and families. This is very much a family co-viewing place to come and start these discussions, you know, with the resources and the idea and inspiration.
And it's also a very G-rated service and a multi-genre service. The horizons are very, very open and wide. You do documentary programming, you do scripted shows, you do unscripted shows, you do variety shows. It's a very eclectic format.
We do. That's correct. And I think this comes from a very simple, you know, a very simple idea. For us, we very much care about finding content on the topics that I've just described that are premium, where there is a very clear educational purpose to it or an inspirational purpose to it. And we don't really, it doesn't really matter the format. It doesn't really matter if it's scripted or unscripted. It tends to be more factual because of the topics that we cover, but we also have some, I would say, older animation, which served our, you know, the younger end of our audience. But I suppose the bottom line is if it's brilliant, if it's premium, and if it's great, you know, we'll look at it and we're considering. And I should also add that we are co-producing or producing some content ourselves, and we take exactly the same approach. We just think about the topic first. We think about the audience that we want to target, and then we start talking to creators, and we give a very wide brief. And then we end up with something that we love and that we think is perfect for what we're trying to achieve.
In a moment, we're going to talk about the shows on Da Vinci that they are co-producing and or producing, and also we'll find out if, since they've been on the air here in the United States, some of the U.S.-based producers are looking at getting involved with this service. We're speaking with Estelle Lloyd, live from London this half hour on Mojave Televised. She is the co-founder and chief operating officer of Da Vinci, the edutainment television service that's now available in the United States in two ways. One, as an on-demand service, and the other, more recently, as a free ad-supported channel with programming scheduled at various times. That part is now running on TCL Smart TV Set and Sling TV. Time to on with you live from Nueva York, where it is 46 degrees, a beautiful day about to wrap up here in the Big Apple. And if you have a question or comment for our guest, make that phone call. We want to be interacting with you. So does Estelle as well. 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday on Tamarabi Televised, we'll speak with one of the most prolific episodic TV directors around. He is also a very important director in the world of American theater. His name is Sheldon F. His latest TV work will be running the Eve Before Christmas Eve on BET and BET Her. It's called Christmas Party Crashers. Yes, it's a made-for-TV movie and a very unique one. And he is also the author of a brand new book that we will be offering as a classic trivia question prize in the near future. It's called My Own Direction and is a very remarkable story of a very remarkable man. His name is Sheldon F. And you'll meet him Friday as our lead guest, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. What are some of the co-produced or producing shows that you do now on Da Vinci?
So we are currently working with Cut.com based in Seattle. We are producing a mini-series with them on sustainability. And what we loved about, I mean, you may, I don't know if you're familiar with the series called Hi-Ho. It's a brilliant series about kids interviewing people of all kinds of walks of life, and they have developed this format that we really love, where kids get to ask questions, which a lot of material which is completely unfiltered and lots of really funny moments, but more importantly, really is you know, fabulously engaging for kids to watch and families as well. And you do find and you recognize some of the interactions that you have yourself with your own kids, you know, those weird questions that come at the worst possible time, and then you have to really think very, very quickly about the answer that you're going to give. We love that format. So when we were thinking about creating something on sustainability, which is always a really important topic for us, sustainability and looking after our planet and things that you can do yourself as an individual to help and do your part, we went naturally to them and presented this idea, and we came up with a really, really lovely concept around interviewing people that have professions around looking after the planet. So we interviewed a youth activist. We recently interviewed a worm farmer. So it's a really lovely mini series, and we hope to do more work with them. And if I may just add one thing, what we loved first and foremost in this instance was the format and the really, you know, very, very special way that they are working with kids, really bringing that unfiltered material and putting it together really well. We loved that, and that was the inspiration for working with them and creating this this new series.
Mm-hmm. Since you have been on the air in the United States, are you starting to hear from other U.S. production companies or individual U.S. producers saying, I like what you're doing, I'd like to do a scripted show or an animated show or an unscripted show or a game show with you?
Yes, but we want to hear more. I think there is a huge amount of potential in the main topics that we're covering. STEM, there's still so much more that we can do around STEM, as I said, particularly around female representation in STEM professions, which is really an important one for us and an area where we're always, always looking for great content. Social-emotional learning, as I said, is a huge category, and I think that there are, big, big gaps in covering that, what I'm going to call curriculum. And there is a lot that we can do in this space. Financial literacy, for example, is a great one. We're currently receiving some lovely, content submissions and ideas on financial literacy, which is definitely a very specific topic that we're going to be covering in 2023.
Since we are talking a lot today about holiday programming, our Hallmark media half hour just before, and then right after you, we're going to have a look at an upcoming ABC special, which is very inspiring, called Finding Harmony, with the former editor-in-chief of Cosmopolitan, and she's also the person who's the role model and the executive producer of Freeform's hit series, a long-running one, the Bold Type. You've got a holiday project called Marvelous Makes that's coming up. What's that all about?
Going back to when I was describing our content, so we, 21st century learning for us includes STEM, includes social emotional learning. And the third one, the first tenpole, is creativity, because we believe that when kids are creative, they can work themselves out of a problem by thinking out of the box and thinking creatively. So creativity has always been a big, big focus for us. We have a lot of content on creativity, makes, arts and crafts and experiments. Marvelous Makes is the very, very first series that we created ourselves. It's a really beautiful, very special little series that not only helps step-by-step, creative makes, but also gives a huge space for, difference and diversity. It's not about making it perfectly. It's about making it and having fun. And this year we decided to create a special for Christmas. It's a really lovely show. There's only great things that I can say about it. It's beautiful. It's easy. It doesn't require a long list of ingredients or, bits and bobs, which is great. Parents running around getting tons of different special, you know, elements. And what we are doing at the moment is also offering the step-by-step guide via a QR code on the FAST channels, which we're hoping will be a huge help for families to be able to access, you know, the way to make this, because obviously it would be really hard to follow on linear channel. And so we're experimenting with that this year, and we're very excited about launching this.
Are these program guides being made available to people here in the States who are catching the the channel?
They very much so. They are on the channel. They're also on a streaming app. I know we haven't been talking about the streaming app very much, but the streaming app obviously is available in the app stores and has all of the programming on the FAST channels and the Ezworld channels. Plus a lot of lovely activities around interactive learning.
Going back to out of the box, British television has this wonderful habit of creating out of the box game shows, which thanks to YouTube, I'm now able to catch. For example, Tipping Point, which I wish somebody in the United States would adapt. It's a marvelous show. Tenable, whose host I believe is in an upcoming movie that is premiering here in the U.S. and worldwide later this month, and a show called The Wheel, which NBC is going to do a special U.S. version with the host, Michael McIntyre, coming up later this month. And they're doing it back-to-back nights for 2 weeks. I was watching an episode of The Wheel, the British version, that was taped earlier this year, and I have to say that would be the kind of a show where if you do a kid's version, or a young adult version, I think would work on DaVinci. What do you think? Have you explored the idea of doing game shows that are aimed at kids or aimed at families or aimed at young adults, maybe being a way to explore the topics that you do?
We have, and I think it would be a really, really fun way to actually cover topics that you know, are not necessarily easy or simple to cover. I think it's a really lovely idea. And, you know, gamification of learning is, you know, we don't need to say that it's been proven over and over. You know, that's the entire edtech industry is about gamifying learning. So I do think that it's an excellent idea, and I will gladly take it and explore it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome, Estelle. Next segment, we are trying to get the American producers of The Wheel, including Jeff Apeloff, who's been on our show in the past on other game show projects, to come on. I've seen an episode of the British version. If they just do the exact format, I think it's going to be a winner. That show is wonderful. And Michael McIntyre, the host and co-creator, is a delight. He really treats the contestants
well.
Let's
try to make it out.
It has celebrities on this wheel. The set is amazing. It could really, I think it's, NBC will be launching this as a two-week special event with episodes, new episodes every night, with a lot of celebrities involved. Some you would not think would do a game show. What's been the reaction from advertisers in the United States to what you're doing so far with the free channel?
I think it's a little bit too early to tell. We've been live for a couple of months. I mean, we haven't yet started talking to sponsors, and we very much plan to do so in 2023. You know, we have a very targeted audience of you know, parents who very much care about learning, very much care about Gen Z millennial topics, and that you know are very important for families nowadays, particularly again in this post-COVID era. So that's very much on the map for us. And we are going to begin doing this work in January.
DaVinci's new free ad-supported channel now running on TCL Smart TV sets and on Sling Satellite TV as well. Hopefully it'll be going on other Smart TV sets, devices, multi-channel bundles, not too far down the road. We've got live from London Estelle Lloyd. She is the co-founder of DaVinci and its parent company, is Macromedia. And also, she is the chief operating officer of The Venture. And she joins us live this half hour on Tomorrow Televised. If you have a question or comment on many minutes with her, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Coming up in a few moments, our classic trivia question of the week. Second week in a row, we're offering this with two musical CDs if you are the first emailing the correct answer. And we'll also have a tribute to Bob McGrath for 47 years He was one of the key players on Sesame Street before that, one of the key players on Sing Along with Mitch. He passed away this past Sunday at the age of 90. An amazing, wonderful talent. And a lot of people tell you that he was a good guy. When he wasn't singing, a really, really good person, a very caring person as well. And then in our final half hour, we'll be joined from Los Angeles by Joanna Coles. She is the executive producer of the upcoming ABC special. It's a very inspiring one and perfect for this holiday season called Finding Harmony. She comes up after the top of the hour. When your husband was on this program last July, we asked about the possibility of interactive programming on your service. And as you know, we now have smart TV sets and smart devices that, through artificial intelligence, both video and audio, allow people to watch and use the television set with their voice, whether it's through projects like or services like Siri, Google Assistant, et cetera, Alexa. They can control the set that way. Has there been any further discussion about doing interactive programming using smart TV sets and devices, whether it's around the world or here in the United States?
I mean, look, that's definitely something that's on our roadmap. I wouldn't say that we are looking at it very actively right now. However, we are talking to partners right now in the education space who are interested in exploring that with us. So this could come sooner than we think with us, but I think it's a little bit too early to really, really have anything concrete to share at this point in time, but maybe very soon.
And we're now starting to see things like interactive fitness channels like Peloton and Beachbody now run on smart TV sets and device and multi-channel bundles. We have telehealth services now running. There are some opportunities in teleeducation. And we hear that CES coming to Las Vegas next month, that we may see from the likes of Samsung and LG and other smart TV makers here in the United States and worldwide, more efforts to do smart home, which could open up the door again for educational or edutainment programming in the United States. What are some of the original shows that DaVinci is going to be launching next year?
So we have a few shows lined up for the first quarter. We have a really interesting series called Becoming X, which is a series of interviews of legendary athletes and very successful people around the world, which we think is one, very inspirational, two, educational, and is about success. When did you realize that you are going to be a very successful tennis player, actor, astronaut? We've got an interview with Tim Peake, one with Roger Federer, just to give you an idea of the caliber of the interviewees. So we're very excited about launching this series. And then on the back of that, we are co-producing with them an interesting follow-on, which is going to be called Becoming Extraordinary, and will launch in June. So that's what we're working on right now. And we've got a few other things in the planning as well. And as I said, I really hope we get to make something on financial literacy in 2023. That's very much our goal right now.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you're going to be making a big push for advertisers. Any thoughts about perhaps being involved in digital content new fronts next year here in New York?
Why not? Definitely, we'll look into that.
Well, Interactive Ad Bureau, who's putting that together, in either April or early May of next year, give these folks a call. They definitely want to do something very special, and it could lead to all sorts of possibilities that would really help the planet very, very much, and kids and families' life. And remember, the programming is all G-rated, too. So now there are two ways here in the United States you can catch DaVinci and its programming. One is on demand. It's available on a number of smart TV sets, smart devices, and also in some cases through your local cable system like Comcast Infinity Systems. And the brand new ad-supported channel that is running on TCL smart TV sets, on Sling TV on satellite, and hopefully very soon on other smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles. For more details about both services online, go to www.davincikids.com. That's www.davincikids, all one phrase, .com. Estelle Lloyd, the Chief Operating Officer of DaVinci and its parent company, thank you again. Thank you for joining us. Best to your husband, best to everybody involved, and hopefully a great, great, wonderful year and many more ahead, too, for your service here in the United States and around the world.
Thank you so much. It was great chatting with you. And, you know, happy Christmas, happy holidays, and soon again.
Absolutely, Estelle. You too. All the greatest. Wonderful holiday season and then some. Super New Year ahead, too.
Super. Bye-bye.
Estelle Loy, the Chief Operating Officer of DaVinci, joining us live from London across the Atlantic. Time now for our classic trivia question of the week. And for the second week in a row, we're offering the same question. And for the second week in a row, we have two CD prizes for you. The Bruce Springsteen E Street Band Live in New York City Concert CD. And from the motion picture that really got Jennifer Lopez wide open as a superstar, the Selena soundtrack. And both of the yours if you can have the answer to this question. And we should point out that two of our previous guests in the last 24 hours did get the correct answer. One is Lloyd Carroll from the Queen's Chronicle, who we are going to try to have on again before the end of the year. And Stephen LeBlanc, the media consultant, former media executive, he got it also earlier today. So I want to thank both of them for getting the correct answer and emailing it. And unfortunately, because they're previous guests, along with previous winners, they are not eligible to win. And you are. So take down the question, and in first with the correct answer, you'll win both CDs. And here is the question. We're going, by the way, for our third winner in the last 4 weeks. Name the country music-oriented game show hosted by country music star Bill Anderson. It ran from 1983 to 1988. Name the country music-oriented game show hosted by country music star Bill Anderson. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and your mailing address. If you're first with the correct answer, you win. We get the prize out to you as soon as possible. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we post the question tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook is Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook is Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so, and all the very best. In the fall of 1969, a wonderful singer decided to get involved in the world of children's television because one of his friends was the executive producer of a show from the Children's Television Workshop on PBS called Sesame Street. The man was David Connell, the former executive producer for many years of Captain Kangaroo on CBS. And he invited this person, who he knew as a performer on the popular 1960 series Sing Along with Mitch on NBC, to be part of it. The singer was Bob McGrath. He didn't know it then, but he was going to be involved in that series for the next 47 years. And even until his death yesterday, at the age of 90, even though he had not been on the show for the several seasons, he still does public, he still did public appearances on behalf of Sesame Street. Bob McGrath was one of the most personable personalities you could ever find on children's television or any television. He had a great voice, great tenor voice, and on Sesame Street, he introduced people to some of the best songs on that show, like People in Your Neighborhood and Sing, many of them done by the late, great composer Joe Raposo and one of the great early writers of Sesame Street, Jeff Moss. Bob really enjoyed the series. He loved being one of the original personalities on the program, the original human beings that inhabited Sesame Street, and he never thought he was stereotyped. He always loved his wonderful work on the show and his segments with Oscar the Grouch, classic television of any kind. Bob passed away on Sunday at his home. He died with his wife and his children and friends to see him. He died peacefully, and I'm sure he died knowing that over the course of his wonderful life, he made a difference with millions and millions of kids and their parents through his work on Sesame Street and his earlier work on Sing Along with Mitch, which ran four seasons on NBC. And in between, he was also one of the top musical superstars in Japan. He made a little mini career out of singing Japanese songs and doing so very, very well. By the way, you can catch the interview that Bob did a number of years ago with the Academy of TV Arts and Sciences. That is still available on YouTube, and I think you'll find it really wonderful. It's a terrific interview, and Bob McGrath was a marvelous, marvelous talent. He will be profoundly missed. And I have a hunch that upstairs he is already reuniting with some of his former Sesame Street pals, including the great Will Lee, who played Mr. Hooper for the first 15 years of that show, and Carol Spinney, Big Bird, who he had a lot of interaction with during his years on that program. Bob McGrath passed away at the age of 90 yesterday, and he leaves behind millions and millions of people who grew up watching him on Sesame Street in his role as Bob, the music teacher, and loving many, many great classic moments on that series. When we come back, after the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Joanna Cove, She was the role model and executive producer of the popular Freeform hit that ran five seasons there, The Bold Type, and now she's executive producing an ABC special coming up a week from Wednesday. It's one of the most inspiring you will find, not only all month, but all year. It's called Finding Harmony. She will join me from Los Angeles after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, and Tune.com. Together, reaching over 75 main listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, this Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on BTR, it's Simi Radio's Christmas special. That's Sim Radio's Christmas special this Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best we charge 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Monday afternoon, 5th of December, 2022. 45 degrees at the top of the hour. The sun is coming down as we speak. Simon Abbott, I'm with you live from New York. And if you have questions or comments for our final guest of this day, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us. Country around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, we have our Chapman business as well. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, you can also be interactive with people you know by using Facebook timeline feature. Give us follow the instructions. Just go to your homepage on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn. Follow the instructions, and other people will be live with you via Facebook's timeline. I want to welcome everybody who just joined us at the top of the hour. And in case you have just joined, we've had a sort of a side theme today, and that is holiday programming. And what you're about to hear next certainly fits that bill. A week from Wednesday, that's December 14th at 10 p.m. Eastern Time and Pacific on your local ABC station, one of the more unique specials you will find all month and maybe all year will be taking place. It's called Finding Harmony, and it's about a very unique person named David Brown. He's a choral director who, over the last 13 years, has a very wonderful gift. He brings together complete strangers, including people that may not be nicety with each other, and he gets them to just join a chorus and sing out and sing strong. And in this program, thanks to the award-winning performer John Legend, David goes to John's hometown of Springfield, Ohio, and makes a musical miracle happen. Joining me live from Los Angeles is the executive producer of this special. She's also the executive producer and the role model of the popular Freeform hit that wrapped five seasons up last year, The Bold Type. It's a pleasure to welcome this program, Joanna Cole. Joanna, welcome. Happy holidays.
Simon. Simon, thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
And very excited, Joanna, to have you here. And this is something different for you after 5 years with The Bold Type, you could say.
And I am so excited. What happened was I went to the Nantucket Project and ran into this chorus master called David Brown, who I literally thought was the most magical man I think I've ever met. And his skill is to get strangers to sing with each other. And as he explained it to me, what happens is when you sing with people, your hearts start beating together. You start breathing together, and you start being part of this thing that is bigger than any one single person. And I was so fascinated by this. I tried it out. I experienced it with him in Nantucket. I thought, this is a TV show. And when I approached John Legend to sort of share, because his life has been about singing, he came on board, and as you say, we went to Springfield, his hometown, and we had an amazing week there with an incredible bunch of people, many of whom didn't know each other, some of whom had had really difficult COVIDs, like I'm sure a lot of your listeners, and we've put together what I hope people will find a really, you know, it's a really simple show, but I guarantee you will not watch this show without crying, without weeping a little bit, without laughing, and without coming away feeling better and full of holiday spirit.
It sounds like the kind of show, Joanna, that Hallmark could make a great made-for-TV movie out of. We had the Senior Vice President of Development at Hallmark Media, parent of Hallmark Channel, on our first half hour. And but the interesting thing is this is a really, really true and very inspiring story.
Yes, it is. And in a sense, it's more real life than Hallmark. I love Hallmark. What I love about David Brown is he takes people who would never normally meet each other. They'd never normally think they had anything in common. But we all love music, right? And he doesn't ask if you can sing. He asks if you will sing. And weirdly, when you put people together in a big group, even if you've been told by your mom or by your music teacher or by anybody that you can't sing, it turns out you can sing. And when you do, you feel great about life. It's a natural upper. It's a little bit like going on a run, which not everybody, including me, wants to do. But if you do bother to do it, it makes you feel better. And singing is just, it's like a drug, honestly. You get hooked on it. It's super fun.
It sounds like David has this method of his engagement madness, if you will, to bring these people together. It's sort of like his attitude sort of guides things, the attitude being, not just you can be part of this, you will be part of this. And so it seems that he comes to the table with a particular person with this sort of, I'm getting you here. You are going to be enrolled to be part of this.
That's exactly right, Simon. And you know, this is a man who can fill stadiums in Ohio, where he's based in Columbus. And he's very non-judgmental. This is not about creating, you know, it's not religious. He's not trying to create an opera. The song that we sing in the show, spoiler alert, is I Live by One Republic. The lyrics of that song are so powerful. There wasn't anybody in that room or in that group that didn't feel those lyrics spoke to them personally. And I think coming out of COVID, you know, we've all been isolated. To some extent, we've been a bit divided politically. And what's fun about this is there's no politics anywhere near it. There's, you know, this is about celebrating coming out of a really hard couple of years for people. I know I found it very difficult. And this music really feels like, an injection of joy. Rachel Tung, the very, very good executive producer who had everybody running around and was the sort of chief queen bee, if you like, said this show triggers joy. And I think right now we all need that, which is why I'm hopeful that the show will be a big hit, that people will listen to it. And, you know, who knows, maybe we can get David to go off to different towns around America and take the Springfield experiment elsewhere.
By the way, did John Legend
well.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was wondering, you were like,
That's okay. I was wondering if John had suggested individual people that David should approach about being part of the choir, or did David just pick the people offhand at random?
Well, obviously, John let people know that we were coming, and one of the nicest people I met there was his former music teacher from school, who was a lovely man who came along to support. And then we have a great guy in the show called Josh, who actually took over from John Legend when John Legend left Springfield to go on to bigger things. Josh actually took his role. I'm not sure if it was in the school choir or the church choir, but he actually stood in for John, if anybody can stand in for John. There are definitely personal connections of John's in the show. And we do our rehearsals in the John Legend Theater, which he bequeathed the school there. So there's lots of connections to John. They have beautiful murals of him around town. And one of the things that David Brown does also, in addition to having people come together and sing and just have fun together, he asks people to get involved in a community project. So we painted a big mural, which was really fun. And, you know, he gets people to feel less isolated by putting back into the community, which sounds super kind of sanctimonious, but actually is just fun. It's just like, you know, getting out there with people and doing the right thing.
Finding Harmony. It is a very unique special coming to your local ABC station a week from Wednesday, December 14th, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. And we are talking with executive producer Joanna Coles, live from Los Angeles this half hour, interview exclusive here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon, I'm with you live from the other side of the US of A, Nueva York, 44 degrees atop of the Ivy. A question or comment for Joanna. Don't be shy. Make that phone go where you are. 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, our lead guest is someone who has done a lot of episodic television and a lot of theater, both Broadway and off-Broadway. His name is Sheldon Epps. His latest TV project will be premiering the eve before Christmas Eve on BET and BET Here. It's called Christmas Party Crashers, a new and very unique two-hour movie. He is also the author of an unusual book, which we will be offering as a classic trivia prize later this month. It's called My Own Direction. That's Sheldon Epps. Wait till you hear his tale. It is very special, both for television and for theater. He is certainly a man for all seasons. And you will meet him live Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, our lead guest right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. How much time, Joanna, did David have to, A, put the choir together physically and then rehearse and perform?
Great question. Normally, when he's working in Columbus with people there, he takes 12 weeks. We gave him the challenge of doing it within a week. So he had only 3 rehearsals with people before they performed in front of the entire town of Springfield. So he was a little anxious. It wasn't actually going to happen. We really put him under pressure, but he loved it. And the people that took part really wanted to support each other. So it wasn't as if people, we had one or two people who were like, what am I doing here? I don't think this is going to work. And they started as naysayers, but they really got into it in a very interesting way. There are one or two characters in particular that people will realize the minute they start watching the show, oh, this person isn't going to get with the program. And I won't tell you what happens, but they're definitely worth watching. So, but I think David is a magician. I think he's an extraordinary man that brings great hope and joy and enthusiasm with just singing. And it's a really, you can probably tell I'm very excited by this. It's been a really fun journey. And it's also, I should say, been a hard journey because we actually wanted to start filming the show 2.5 years ago. And of course, COVID arrived. And at the time, it became clear that singing was actually a super spreader event. So we really couldn't do anything for 2 years. And then happily, you know, our vaccinations kicked in. People felt much more confident about going out. We got COVID under control. And so happily, we were able to make the show.
Yeah. With only a week to put everything together and make everything come off, how did David find the people? Did he hold mass auditions, or did he do door-to-door, knock, you know, all over Springfield to get people to be part of the choir?
He has a team of musicians with him, Reggie, the band leader, and a couple of people that work with him. And they literally walked around Springfield slapping up flyers on lampposts. They went into hair salons and barber shops and grocery stores. And they just, you know, gave people flowers and asked them if they were interested. And what was interesting was that initially people were a little apprehensive, but then the more they heard about it, the more interested they were. And the first night we had a good rehearsal, a lot of people came, but the next night way more people came because they'd heard about it from the people who'd come the first night. And, you know, I think people are always a bit skeptical of something new. And, you know, singing might sound like we're expecting you to have a voice, you know, like Maria Callas, but obviously that was not the issue. The point was to come, meet your neighbors, have fun, and sing a fabulous song by One Republic.
Because this city had come off the pandemic for the last 2 years, were there any concerns raised about, oh, we should all wear masks, or we should all social distance, or, you know, some people are going to wear masks, some people are not. We should all be as one. Did that have any impact on the process?
Yeah, great question. We did a mammoth amount of testing. ABC Disney brought in a whole crew of people, so everybody was tested pretty much every day, actually. So we were very careful about it because obviously we didn't want anybody to get sick. We tested, and happily, as far as I know, we had no cases of COVID, and everybody was very respectful. And, you know, people will, I hope, see a group of people coming together just so relieved that the worst of COVID is behind us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When people learned that song by One Republic, what was their initial reaction to it? Had anybody in the choir had heard One Republic sing any songs, much less, you know, be responsible for this one?
Well, I think people were really excited that it was a pop song and not a religious song or not, you know, some great old song that people remembered from school and maybe triggered bad memories of the playground. And when you think about the lyrics, you know, it opens with hope when you take that jump, you don't fear the fall. I think everybody can relate to that because everybody has moments of great anxiety in their life. And then hope when the water rises, you built a wall. That sense of the water rose during COVID, right? And we had a lot of healthcare workers who came, who, you know, told us, you know, quietly in the moments, in the breaks between singing, how hard they found a lot of the work, because it was hard. It was super hard and depressing. And I think they found the song spoke to them. And what David is brilliant at doing, he's almost like a shrink with lyrics. He matches certain lyrics to certain people. And we have one great young woman in the show who was wrestling with a personal issue. And, you know, he assigned her the lyrics to sing, hope that you fall in love and it hurts so bad. And it was just amazing watching her open up emotionally when she sang those words. And, you know, the chorus, I did it all, I owned every second that this world can give. With every broken bone, I swear I live. The acknowledgement that we can't get through without a few broken bones, you know, and you may not physically break your bones, but nobody is getting through a lifetime without your hurts. And this song is very sort of healing. It's such an amazing anthem for pulling people together and saying, you know, we're all in this together. And I feel that it's one of those shows that you don't see so often on television now. I understand the big desires for huge crime shows and, you know, incredibly exciting, big, sexy dramas. I love to watch them too. But what I love about this show is it's watching America at its best. It's watching people come out, support each other, give, you know, sing. There's something very moving about watching people just singing their hearts out. It doesn't sound dramatic, but when you watch the transformation on television, we had a couple of people that got into a bit of a spat because they, you know, one felt the other didn't understand her. And we had, you know, a couple of men who were really shy, who as teenagers had loved music and in their 20s had loved music, but life got in the way, you know, other things happened to them, they ended up giving it up. And the opportunity for them to come back and re-engage with harmony and with music and with other people was really meaningful to them, and it was very moving.
Joanna Coles is the executive producer of Finding Harmony, the unique ABC special that premieres a week from Wednesday. That's December 14th in primetime, 10 p.m. Eastern Time and Pacific Time on your local ABC station. And we have a few more minutes with Joanna this half hour. You have a question or comment for her? Don't be shy. Make that phone call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up an episode you missed, we make it very simple for you. Go to our homepage. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or go at the bottom of the hour to our website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. That's tomorrowwilltelevised.onpodium.com. Tomorrow we televise hyphens between the words. And incidentally, if you have a question about the world of television, a question about our guest, yours truly, we have a question box at the bottom of the home screen on that website. And you can use that to reach me directly. And if I use your question on the air, you, of course, will get the credit. Tomorrow we televised on podium.com. And don't forget all of our podcast locations from Google Podcasts to Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Take us inside the night or the day of the performance. What was the atmosphere like, particularly given the fact that you've got one shot to tape or film this?
Yeah, great question. It was kind of nerve-wracking and scary, and the people who were chosen to sing the solos were really practicing their hearts out, because it's one thing, I think, performing in front of an audience you don't know. It's another when you're performing in front of an audience and you know lots of the people in it. So everybody that was in the chorus had invited friends. And then suddenly, you know, it's very easy to feel self-conscious in front of people. And it was a sort of long and exciting day. We sang in front of the main civic building in Springfield, which is absolutely beautiful. There's this gorgeous fountain. We were so lucky with the light and the weather. And it was really fantastic. And one of the amazing things was Dave Chappelle, the comedian we ran into while we were filming, and he sent some people down to help warm up the crowd ahead of time, which was very nice of him. So we really felt that Springfield had sort of come out to support something. And again, I don't think this is giving anything away to say that by the time the concert had finished, people were saying, how can we make this a regular thing? We want to get involved. And one or two of the members of the chorus said, continue the work, because there was so much excitement around it. And there was a lot of hugging and a lot of, you know, there's a lot of emotion when you have a great song like I Lived and you have a group of people that many of whom really didn't feel they'd been out and done something and participated in something since pre-COVID. So you've got this incredible excitement at being back out with people. And also I think having a lot of the difficulties and the hardship of the last 2 years acknowledged. I mean, so many people just were trapped inside their homes. They were isolated, and yet their troubles were, you know, replicated across the country. This was something we suffered collectively. And there's something very, very healing to get together with a big group of people and sing your way out of it. That's what it felt like. And I loved Rachel's point, this was triggering joy, because that's really what it felt like. So the day itself was nerve-wracking, it was long, but then they absolutely, you know, I don't know how they produced the volume that they did, but it was incredible. And David almost, there's a moment where David almost falls back into the fountain. He's so, you know, he's so animated in the way he conducts everybody. But happily, he stayed just on the right side of the fountain.
Mm-hmm. It's been more than a year since the final season of The Bold Type. Do you still get thoughts about the show and your work on it? And what do you think is the lasting legacy of that show, which had a great run on Freeform?
Well, I hope the lasting legacy is a show that shows women with the three younger characters working together and having fun, and a female boss who isn't a total B word. I mean, one of the issues I had when I was growing up in journalism was there weren't very many really senior women, but the senior women I did come across were all incredibly supportive. And yet I never saw that reflected in popular culture. You know, when you think about The Devil Wears Prada, the Meryl Streep character there is this really actually, you know, when you look back on it now, this bully. And I felt it was important to try and create a character that felt much more akin to the women who'd helped me. And I was very grateful for their support. I worked on Fleet Street, which was a totally male-dominated business in the 80s and 90s. And I met some fantastic women. And then my best female friends now even come from those days. We all supported each other. We had a hilarious time together. And so I wanted to capture the fun of going into an office, a journalistic office, as a young woman, and also the sort of decisions you have to make when you're older. So I hope that will be the lasting legacy. But one of the great things about the long tail of content now is it's on Netflix internationally. It's on Hulu in America, but Netflix internationally. And I hear almost every day from people who are watching it in India, in Israel, in Italy, and they're thrilled because there are just so few shows about working women and working women who enjoy it and aren't, you know, crippled by it. And so I think actually it's had a strangely powerful legacy, and there's definitely talk of a spin-off. So I won't say any more than that because I don't want to breach confidences, but it's not that the franchise of The Bold Type is not yet done.
Well, we have about a minute left. Any TV plans that you have for 2023 you can talk about?
Well, I was going to say that I'm very excited. I optioned with ABC Signature a book called Assume Nothing, which is a very interesting story. It's a very interesting, complicated drama that I'm going to be doing with Amazon and co-producing and starring Priyanka Chopra. So I'm very excited about that. And of course, I'm very excited about Megan Fahey, who was Sutton on The Bold Type and who's now the main female character, or one of the main female characters on White Lotus. I haven't watched last night's episode, but Dave Bernard, who was the executive producer of The Bold Type with me, is the executive producer with Mike White, thrilled for Megan Fahey's success.
And in the meantime, up ahead, it's Finding Harmony, and you'll find it on your local ABC station next Wednesday. That's not this Wednesday, next Wednesday, December 14th, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Check your local ABC station near you, and for more details about the program online, go to abc.com. That's abc.com. Finding Harmony, a week from Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on ABC. Joanna Coles, executive producer of the special, and before that, The Bold Type, and hopefully much, much more TV to come next year. Thank you very much for coming on. It's been a delight all the way to have you this half hour. Congratulations on this special. Congratulations to David and everybody involved, and hopefully the impact will be felt so that maybe David can come to your neck of the woods next year, and maybe my neck of the woods, too. We'd love to have it.
I hope so. Well, thank you for having me on, Simon. I'm very excited to be on the show. Many congratulations.
Thank you very much, Joanna. I really appreciate it. And to you and everybody you know, have a wonderful holiday season, a beautiful new year ahead.
Thank you.
Joanna Coles, the executive producer of Finding Harmony. That's, again, a week from Wednesday on your local ABC station. Thanks to all of our guests for an amazing 90 minutes. We promise you it was going to be engaging, entertaining, and very inspiring. And, boy, it sure was. And we hope to continue the inspiration coming your way on Friday when my lead guest will be Sheldon Epps. He is the co-producer and director of the new BET film coming your way, The Eve Before Christmas Eve, Christmas Party Crashers, and he's also the author of a brand-new book called My Own Directions. It is very, very inspiring. He is somebody amazing, both in the world of episodic television and movies and also Broadway and off-Broadway theater. And you'll meet him next Friday here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Again, if you came in on today's episode, we're going to catch up with you. Miss, go to the homepage, go to our podcast site, and we'd love to hear from you. What do you think about our show today? And what's your thoughts about the world of television, where it's at, where it's going, and the passing of Bob McGrath from Sesame Street and Sing Along with Mitch? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. I do respond to what you have to say within 24 hours. That's our promise to you, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Cho is B-Charge General Manager. Jay Soderbergh is Head of Content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Internet's big new podcast outpost. Charles Vegas is our web coordinator. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday and week. We are back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, our website, and our wonderful lineup of podcast destinations. Whatever you're doing now and then, make it safe and great. If you haven't been vaccinated, see your doctor, find out what your situation is, find out all the special alternative treatments to vaccines and boosters, and then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.